the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Indeed,
Jesus. Christos anesti.
Christos
voskrese. Brothers and sisters, another one of these wonderful, beautiful Paschal Sundays. I hope that you're celebrating highly the Lord's resurrection during these 40 days. I want to share with you today something about my week that has just passed. It was a week that was full of much activity and traveling. I visited 5 different churches. I stayed at a different place every night, put a lot of miles on the car, and I sat in a lot of traffic. I went to New York City, and I'm glad that I had with me my trusty GPS. Anyone who knows what New York City is like knows the roads there. It can be a little bit chaotic, and it can be a little bit crowded. You know, one of my trips was supposed to be about an hour and a half, and it turned into 3 hours. Things aren't always what you expect, though, in life. You know, the GPS, which we're all familiar with, actually can be a wonderful metaphor for our life. It can serve as an illustration of how we are constantly on the move. We're constantly going places. We have goals and aspirations and destinations. We have stopping points along the way, detours in life, sadly even some accidents, mistakes that we make when we turn off the road. All of these things we have, each and every one of us, in life's journey. I want to speak a little bit today about this GPS that God has given to us, the GPS of the soul. But before we do that, let me just ask, does anyone not know what a GPS is? Are we at the point in our technological advances that everyone knows now what a GPS is? Okay, good. Think about life. We think about our goals and our aspirations. There are many of them, some long-term, some short-term. Some desire to be married, to get a job, buy a house, perhaps have children, get a promotion, pay off the house, retire, and then finally move to Arizona, or preferably to Delmarva, a wonderful place to retire. And along the way to those goals, we have many stopping points. To get married, you have to begin with dating. If you're going to get a job, you probably need to go to school, maybe go to college, to buy a house, you gotta save some money from each paycheck. And sometimes we have detours. You might lose a job, you might get fired. You might, sadly, have broken relationships or divorces. And we have to learn how to do something which the GPS does so well for us when we're driving the car. And that's recalculate. I don't know how many times I heard my GPS say recalculating my travels around New York City. It was every 5 seconds, it seemed. Recalculating because of accidents or traffic or my own mistakes when I turned off where I shouldn't have, etc. Recalculating. And as Christians, recalculating is something that we have to be doing all of the time to make sure that we are pointed the way that we should go, traveling the way that we should go. We have to continually recalculate. You know, if God was looking down on me this week, he probably saw me driving around New York City in circles, getting lost. But he probably saw a whole bunch of other people doing that exact same thing. New York City, if you were looking down from above, might look like an anthill with ants scurrying around all over the place, each trying to accomplish their tasks, their goals, coming together in this central place. And in many ways, our life on this earth is like that of the ants. We have coordination among ourselves, we have community. But in some ways we differ, we also have competition and individuality. Ants work together, sometimes people don't so much. But there is this constant busyness to life in the animal kingdom, and also amongst us men and women. We're constantly busy with activities, trying to accomplish our goals. When we consider an anthill, we consider how temporary it is, how small and insignificant it might be, how it can be blown away or crushed underfoot, how a storm can come and wash away that anthill. Sometimes we don't realize that all of our labors on this earth are much the same way. They're not eternal. This earth, this age, it's passing away. All of our great cities, they don't last. All of our goals and aspirations that are temporal come to an end. And as Christians, we have to make sure that our GPSs are set to something more eternal. We heard in today's gospel reading about how Christ was traveling. He was on a journey. And his GPS was set to take him to Sychar of Samaria. And he was to arrive right at 12 noon. There was no traffic at that time at the well. In fact, who would go to a well at 12 noon in the middle of the hot day in the Middle East?
Just about nobody, right?
Except for one person, this woman whom we know as Fotini, the Samaritan woman. She was going to the well at that time because she was something of an outcast. She wanted to go when there would be no one there, no one that she would have to interact with. And why was she an outcast? Well, the gospel tells us because she had many husbands. Five husbands.
And the man that she was with now was not even her husband.
She wanted to avoid people. And that's why she came to the well at that time. Christ came to the well at that time to find her. And he comes and he has this conversation. He says to her, "Give me something to drink." And this discussion ensues about water and thirst in the specific context, but then widens and broadens to desire, the human desire, and God. And the Lord says, "Go call your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband," etc. And this is something of a sore spot, without a question. It's a characteristic that people judged her for. This is why she was an outcast. But it's actually something that we can all, I hope, if we're humble enough, realize that we have similarity in. We're like unto her in that we've had multiple desires. We might not have been married to multiple people, but we've had multiple things that we've sought after, multiple goals that we've sought to acquire, multiple paths that we traveled down, that were all dead-ended, that we're all or are all temporal. We've had desire for many things but God. And as the scriptures tell us, desire for things other than God is adultery, idolatry of the human heart. We've had many loves that haven't been God, our passions. And so in many ways, we're like this woman. And in this conversation that the Lord has with her, we can learn something about ourselves. They discuss water and thirst. They discuss desire and God. And then they spoke about where God is to be found. Where God is to be found. Is it in Jerusalem, where there's Mount Zion? Or is it here in Samaria, where there's Mount Gerizim? The Jews and the Samaritans, they worshiped in different places. They saw God in different places. And what does the Lord say? He says, "Yes, salvation is of the Jews, but I tell you, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. The hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The Lord is revealing to the Samaritan woman about how to find the great and final destination. How to find God. And the way that God is to be found is in spirit and in truth. This, of course, is a reference to the Holy Trinity. God the Father, who sends the Son, who is the truth, who likewise sends the Holy Spirit, and man comes to worship the one God in three persons. Man comes to find his true destiny, what he was created for. And the Lord said, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. You see, the Lord is continually searching for us. We are the end destination of all of his work. The Father sent the Son and sends down the Holy Spirit for us. And that's why the Lord came to that Samaritan woman on that day. And she, realizing that, began to recalculate. She began to rethink her life. And brothers and sisters, it's our job to continually rethink about our life, to recalculate. Is our inner GPS pointed towards God? Or is it pointed elsewhere? The stops along the way, are they a help to us? Or do they hinder us? Do we turn off the path? Or do we stay on the path? All of the activity and the busyness of our life, where are we heading with it? What is it doing for us? The Samaritan woman, when she came in contact with Christ, she realized what life was all about. Her desire was fulfilled in God. And she did something that might seem somewhat strange. Once she found the Lord, what did she do? She left. Right? She put down the water jar, and she went to the people of the town. The people who thought she was an outcast. She went to them. And she said, come. I got coordinates for you to put in your GPS. Come here. There's someone I want you to meet. There's someone I want you to know. There's someone I want you to be with. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. And then they came. And they saw and they believed. And they said, no longer do we believe just because you told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. We believe because we have seen and we have heard. We've come to him and come to know. And they asked the Lord to stay with him. Now I wonder if the Lord is looking down from heaven on us today and he sees our activity. I'm sure he would be pleased that we got to this church this morning. Should be very pleased by that. But I think he would also be pleased if when we left this church, we did something. Just one thing on this Sunday. And that's to find one single person whom we can tell about the Lord. Whom we can invite to come here to meet him, to know him, to love him. What if the Lord saw, looking down from heaven, all of us leave this church today and go out and find people and bring them back? What blessed activity that would be. What good work we would be doing. And this is actually what the Lord is calling his disciples to do. They went into the city and they got food. Was the Lord interested in that food? His food is to do the will of his Father who sent him. Did he even drink the water that the Samaritan woman was going to give him? No, he didn't. His thirst was quenched by doing the Father's will. And sisters, it is our job to continue that work. To go out and see the fields ripe for harvest. To see the people who, even in this area, not just New York City, are so busy with so many things. So many temporal things and temporal desires that don't fulfill. We go from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. More than five times. Let us be people who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, have our desire met, and then do His will by bringing others to the same Messiah, the same Savior, the same Lord, so that they and we together might rejoice. Christ is risen.
Indeed, he is risen.